You've done your planning, weather looks good. You get to the airport, do your walk around, climb in, work through the pre-flight checklist, and somewhere between setting up the avionics and running up the engine, you find it. Something is not working. A gauge that doesn't move. An indicator that won't illuminate. An instrument that's clearly giving you nothing. So now what? Can you fly? Do you have to cancel? Does the answer change depending on what broke? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we are working through one of the regulations that generates more confusion for students near their private pilot check ride than almost any other, Federal Aviation Regulation 91.213, the inoperative equipment rule. By the time we're done, you'll have a decision process you can use on the ramp every time this comes up, and it will come up. Before we get into the regulation itself, a quick shout out to AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for the milestones that matter in aviation. First solo, private certificate, instrument rating, commercial, ATP. Real milestones worth marking. Head over to AviationSoul.com and take a look. All right, let's walk through this together. The first thing to understand about 91.13 is why the regulation exists. Aircraft break. They break at inconvenient times, and whether a broken piece of equipment makes an airplane unairworthy is not always obvious. The rules have to balance safety, meaning making sure genuinely critical equipment is working, with operational practicality, meaning not grounding every aircraft in the country because a clock stopped. The two worst outcomes here are both problems. The first is flying with something broken that was actually required, which is an airworthiness violation and potentially dangerous. The second is canceling a flight that was perfectly legal just because you didn't know how to evaluate the broken item. Both of those outcomes come from not knowing the process. 91.213 gives you a framework. Four questions. You work through them in order. If any question tells you to stop, you stop. If you get through all four with no stop signals, you can likely fly. Question 1. Is the inoperative item required by Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, Regulation 91.205 for the kind of operation you're planning? 91.205 is the equipment list that applies to all civil aircraft operating under Part 91. It breaks into separate lists by operation type. Day VFR, night VFR, IFR. The answers are different depending on which category your flight falls into. For the private pilot certificate, you need the day VFR list memorized. A lot of instructors teach it through the mnemonic ATOMATO flames. 13 letters, 13 items. A is altimeter, T is tachometer for each engine. O is oil pressure gauge. M is magnetic direction indicator, your compass. A is airspeed indicator. T is temperature gauge for liquid-cooled engines. O is oil temperature gauge for air-cooled engines. F is fuel gauge for each fuel tank. L is landing gear position indicator, but only if the aircraft has retractable gear. A is anti-collision lights for aircraft certified after March 11, 1996. M is manifold pressure gauge for altitude engines. E is emergency locator transmitter. And S is safety belts for every occupant. That's the day VFR list. If your broken item is on it, you don't fly. Question 1 is answered. Write it up. Notify maintenance and find another solution. Night VFR adds a second set of required items. Many instructors teach these with the mnemonic flaps. F is fuses, specifically a spare set of the correct fuses for any circuit that uses them instead of circuit breakers. L is landing light, but only when the aircraft is being operated for hire. A is anti-collision lights, P is position lights, your red and green and white navigation lights, and S is a source of adequate electrical energy for all installed electrical equipment. For night VFR, both lists apply. Day VFR, just ATOMATO flames. If the broken item is not on those lists for your planned operation, move to question 2. Question 2, is the inoperative item required by the aircraft's kinds of operations equipment list? The kinds of operations equipment list, called the KOAL, lives in the Airplane Flight Manual or the Pilot's Operating Handbook, the POH. A lot of pilots know their POH well when it comes to performance data and weight and balance. A lot fewer have ever actually read the KOAL. The KOAL is a table that identifies installed equipment and specifies whether each item is required for a given kind of operation. Day VFR, night VFR, IFR. The manufacturer determined, working with the FAA during certification. What equipment is essential for airworthiness in that particular airframe for each kind of operation? The FAA's required equipment list sets a minimum standard for all civil aircraft. the QAL can be more restrictive. A manufacturer might conclude that a piece of equipment in their aircraft is necessary even when it wouldn't appear on the government's minimum list. If the QAL says required, that's an airworthiness determination, and you do not get to set it aside. In a Cessna 172, the QAL is typically in the limitation section of the POH, which is Section 2. It's structured as a table with columns for the different kinds of operations and rows for the equipment items. Once you've found it and read it a couple of times, it's pretty intuitive to use. In other aircraft, it might be in an appendix. The important habit is knowing where to find it before you need it. On the ramp with a question to answer is not the best time to be searching page by page through an unfamiliar handbook. The Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, are specific about what's expected here. If an examiner presents you with an inoperative equipment scenario during the oral exam, they want to see you physically locate the QAL in the POH and demonstrate that you can read it. Not just say, "I would check the QAL," actually open to it and show them. That's the skill being evaluated. If the QAL says the item is required for your planned operation, question 2 says no go. If the QAL does not list it as required, move to question 3. Question 3. Does the aircraft have an approved minimum equipment list? A minimum equipment list, or MEL, is a document specific to an individual aircraft. The FAA approves it. It allows the aircraft to operate with certain inoperative equipment under defined conditions. And MEL goes through systems one at a time and says, if this is broken, here's what must be in place before you can fly anyway. Sometimes that's a placard requirement. Sometimes it's a specific maintenance inspection. Sometimes it's a restriction on what operations are permitted. Here is the practical reality for general aviation. The rental aircraft at your flight school almost certainly does not have an MEL. MELs are common in airline and charter operations and in corporate flight departments with professional dispatch systems. Maintaining an MEL requires an FAA approval process and ongoing coordination between operations and maintenance. The typical flight school Cessna or Piper does not go through that process. If the aircraft has an MEL and the inoperative item is addressed in it, follow the MEL requirements exactly. If the item isn't covered, or if the MEL says no-go on it, question 3 says you don't fly. If there's no MEL, move to question 4. Question 4. Is the inoperative item required by an airworthiness directive or any other FAA regulation? Airworthiness directives, or ADs, are legally binding documents issued by the FAA when an unsafe condition is identified in a certificated product. If an AD requires a piece of equipment to be functional, nothing else overrides it. Not the equipment lists, not the QAL, not the absence of an MEL. The AD governs. You verify AD compliance through the aircraft's maintenance records, specifically the AD compliance log. Your airframe and power plant mechanic, your A&P, can help you confirm this. If you're not sure, ask before you fly. This is the question that some students skip because it feels removed from day-to-day flying. It isn't. There are ADs on avionics, on fuel system components, on instruments. Check. If there's no applicable AD and no other regulation requires the item, you've worked through all four questions without hitting a stop sign. You may be able to fly, but there are two remaining steps before that airplane moves. First, deactivate the inoperative item if possible. Equipment that doesn't work should not be in a state where a pilot might inadvertently trust it. If a fuel quantity indicator is stuck on one tank and you've determined it's not required for your operation, you don't want it giving you a misleading reading in flight. Pulling the circuit breaker is often the cleanest way to deactivate an electrical item. If the item has no electrical component and can't be physically removed without significant disassembly, document that fact and move forward. If removal is straightforward and there's time and maintenance support available, having the A&P remove it entirely is always a valid approach. Second, placard it. The regulation requires a placard reading in imperative placed in plain sight of the crew. This is not optional. The placard reminds you in flight that the item is not functional, so you don't look at it and unconsciously trust a bad reading. And it alerts any other pilot who flies the airplane before the repair is made. A piece of tape marked INOP satisfies the requirement. The regulation is not prescriptive about materials, just about visibility and legibility. Let me walk through four scenarios to make this concrete. Scenario 1, day VFR. Clock is not working. Clock is not on the Automato Flames list. You open the POH, check the QAL for day VFR. Clock is not listed as required. No MEL on the aircraft, no AD, you placard it. In imperative, you fly. Scenario 2, day VFR. Oil pressure gauge is not working. That's the O and out of flames required instrument. Question 1 says, no go. Write it up. Notify maintenance. This airplane stays on the ground until it's repaired. Scenario 3. Night VFR. The map light fails. Map light is not in the flaps night editions, not in the COEL as required. No MEL, no AD. Technically, by the 4 questions, you can fly. But here's where I'd slow down. Can you actually fly safely at night without a map light? Do you have a backup, a flashlight, or a tablet with charts on it? The regulation tells you what's legal. You are still responsible under FAR 91.3 for determining what's safe. Legal and safe are 2 separate standards. As pilot in command, you own both. Scenario 4. Day VFR. The turn coordinator is not working. This surprises a lot of students because the turn coordinator is prominent in the cockpit. For day VFR, it is not on the required equipment list under 91.205. In many common training aircraft, the COEL does not list it as required for day VFR either. Work through all 4 questions. If none of them say stop, you placard it, and you can fly day VFR. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The examiner on your private pilot practical test may hand you exactly that scenario. They want to see the process. They want to watch you go to the POH, find the COEL, and read it, not recite the answer from memory, actually demonstrate the process. That's what passing looks like on this one. One last thing. After any flight conducted with inoperative equipment, the item still needs to be written up for maintenance. Document it in the aircraft discrepancy log or whatever write-up system applies to that aircraft. The item needs repair before the aircraft returns to full operational status. Your write-up starts that chain and protects the next pilot, who hasn't had this conversation. Regulations often feel like walls of text built to confuse you. This one is actually a well-structured decision framework. The FAA built a system that distinguishes between what's genuinely critical and what isn't, and it trusts the pilot to work through the process correctly. 4 questions. A placard. A deactivation, if possible. That's it. Know the process. And you'll never stand on the ramp wondering what to do. My information today came from FAR 91.213 and 91.205, along with the FAA's guidance on aircraft airworthiness. Past episodes are at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Fly safe.